Amen. As they sang that song, Bless the Lord, they played it. We went to see Sister Alvedris, and you have to forgive Pastor because sometimes I get the giggles. And I had a spirit of the giggles get on me. And because I told my wife, I said, why don't you start singing? And her and Sister Leek started singing, Bless the Lord. And it was good. But Sister Alvedris can't hear very well. And so in the middle of their singing, she just started having a conversation. And it just struck me funny. And I just had to leave because I was laughing so hard. So you have to forgive me. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. May be seated. Amen. Glad that everybody's in the house of the Lord. Make sure you're here Sunday. Sunday's going to be a dynamic service, and you do not want to miss it. And it's going to be wonderful. And God's got a lot of great things in store for every one of us. Amen. We've been teaching a series of lessons on Wednesday nights. It seems like it's been a while since I've been behind the pulpit on a Wednesday night. But we were talking about because we're His. And everything we do and everything we don't do is a reflection of Him. And it's because we're His. We're made in His image. And so tonight, I want to dive back into this. It's because we're His. And it's really dealing with the apparel question. Because a lot of people say, well, why in the world do you do what you do? And it's because we're His. It's because I want the world to know who I am. And it's almost like when me and my wife, we were in Santa Monica. And I told you this, I believe, on Sunday. And I won't repeat the story. We were approached by someone that wanted to interview us, and it could be because of the way we looked. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood, and there is a difference about us. Matter of fact, many years ago, also I was just in my golf shirt and golf pants and I had my golf cleats on and a golf hat, Brother Rudy, and I walk into the restaurant there in the Bahamas just minding my own business. I just want to eat eggs and bacon and all the stuff you're not supposed to have, biscuits and gravy and all of that. If you want to make Pastor happy, just make breakfast. I'm good. Breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But I walked in there and that lady, she said, are you pasta? And y'all know the story. I'm like, no, I don't think so. I've gained weight, but no. But she said, no. Do you love Jesus? And I go, oh, Pastor. Said, yeah. And she says, well, I feel Him. I feel Him all over you. There's something about when you just get a hold of this and you embrace Him and you make this a lifestyle. It's not a Sunday thing. It's not a Wednesday thing. It's not special services, but it becomes a lifestyle. And when you buy into this, that's why the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. When you get into this covenant agreement with God, something happens. You change. Change the way you look, change the way you act, change the way you dress, change the way you talk. That's why people will come up to you and say, there's something different about you. I just can't put my finger to it. What's different about you? And you say, it's the Holy Ghost. It's God got a hold of me. I remember years ago at Bible college, I worked at Red Lobster and I walked up to the table and I'm sure I've told this story, just I'm getting old, that's all right. But I walked up to the table and I said, welcome to Red Lobster. Happy. And she's like, why are you so happy? I said, welcome to Red Lobster. I mean, hello? You're in a place that serves hot, fresh, golden, flaky butter biscuits. Garlic butter biscuits, and you're not happy to be here? I just said, welcome to Red Lobster. And she was like, why are you so happy? And I could have. Bible says don't render evil for evil. Don't pick up a stone and throw it back. I could have just said, oh, really? But I just said, I don't. There's a boldness, and sometimes boldness will come upon you. And Brother McIntosh, she said that to me, and I just said, you know what? The reason why I'm so happy, because I got the Holy Ghost inside me. I got Jesus dwelling on the inside of me. I know maybe you're here for the garlic cheese biscuits, but I got Jesus, and it's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I said, matter of fact, if you'll try this Jesus, it'll change the way you act. And I don't know if we had a transformation back then or what, but when you get hooked up to this, things start happening. So I want to go a little bit tonight. We'll not get through all of it. It may just be part one, and we'll continue later, because I know the more you say, the less people remember. And so I do want to dive into this a little bit, bring a foundation. But I do want to talk about the apparel question. So in Deuteronomy chapter 22 and verse number 5, the Bible says this. It's because we are His. The woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are what? An abomination unto the Lord thy God. It's not what a Bundle Life Center believes or thinks. It's not what traditions of man. The Lord lays it out there pretty clear. If you want there to be an abomination on you, just don't follow the word of God. But if you really want to please God and you want to become one of His and you want to be made in His image, there's some things you ought to do. So then the question is, why does the Bible have more external standards for women than they do for men? Anybody heard that question? Well, why is there much more on the ladies than the guys? Why do the guys get all the breaks? Well, can I just tell you, God created men and women differently. Men and women are wired different. I've been married for 22 years. I still don't know why my wife does what she does sometimes. And there are many days she hadn't figured me out. And she's like, what in the world is he thinking? We're not like ladies. And they're not like us. And we don't think like them. And they don't think like us. We're different, and they're really, Brother Scott, there's nothing wrong with it. We're just wired differently. Matthew 5:28 says this, Jesus said, whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Can I just tell you that men are stimulated by sight. Men are visual. Notice Jesus did not say, whosoever looketh on a man. He said, whosoever looketh on a woman. And this is not because it wouldn't be a sin for a woman to visually lust after a man, or because women have no inclination to visually lust, but merely because women are generally not tempted by the lust of the eye as men are. Women don't think like men do. I've said it before, and I said it at our Worth the Wait class. Seems like I got a ring. But men are dogs. Women don't think like men. And in the same way, women are more commonly given to enticing dress than men are. Can I tell you that women spend more time getting dressed and thinking about what to wear and how they look in their different outfits? They will try on different clothes in one day. to go to church. I'm not talking about two or three different outfits. I'm talking five, six, seven, eight. Shamil, Shamazel, all those different outfits. Because they want to pick out just the right thing. Brother Cole, you don't hear many men that will put on something and say things like, does this outfit bring out my eyes? I wonder, Brother Saucedo, if I wear this tonight, will anybody else be wearing the same suit that I'm wearing? Do I have the right shoes to go with this outfit? I don't think there's a lot of men that even said this, Brother Josue, does this outfit make me look fat? You don't hear many men that make these comments. Now, there might be some, but not many. Because we typically just throw things together. If it matches, great. If it doesn't smell that bad, awesome. If I go on a trip, the way I pack, I'm just throwing stuff in. And my wife is meticulous. She'll get her outfit out, she gets shoes out, and guys don't do that. I just throw it in. I'm done. I could leave for 2 weeks and be done packing in 5 minutes. Not ladies. My wife many times goes, you always just overpack. Yeah, I really didn't figure out the days. I just throwing things in. we throw them together. You know, let me give you, I don't want to give too much info, but when I get dressed, I put the socks on first and then match my outfit. And if the socks somehow don't match, I ain't changing. And my wife's like, you got blue socks on and you're wearing a brown suit? I'm like, what? You got black shoes on and you're wearing a brown belt? The belt fits. Men don't worry about it, Brother Joel. We just put it together. But ladies, on the other hand, a little different because they're different and we're different. We read in the scripture of the attire of a harlot, but never do you read the attire of a whoremonger. Women, not men, are warned especially of this sin in the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in what? Modest, everything. Can I just, if we could get a hold of just that one word, modesty. Is this modest? I mean, I could put something on and it could be the right length and all of that, but if I had to jump off a 3-foot story building to get into it, it's probably not gonna be too modest. If we could get a hold of that word modesty, because we are a reflection of Him. And if we're not a reflection of Him, and we're a reflection of me, He doesn't coexist that way. I become a reflection not then of Him, I become a reflection of the adversary. And so that's why he said in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with what? Good works. This is not because men cannot sin in the way they dress, but merely because the sin of intentional enticement in dress is not so much the sin of men as it is of women. So then the question is, why do fallen women have the desire to entice men in the way they appear? Why do they dress the way they do? Why do they tend to desire tight-fitting or revealing clothes? Because women know that men are attracted by sight. And there are some women that wear outfits to simply get attention, whether it's good attention or it's bad attention. They want people to notice them and to watch them. Men are moved by sight, whereas women are stimulated by touch, either physical or emotional, and they realize they cannot get a man to touch them unless they first appeal to him visually. And so that's why Paul gives this command regarding women in 1 Corinthians 7:1, that it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Godly men must refrain from touching physically or emotionally, even when a woman tries to entice them visually, because there are dangers. And I've been teaching our young men, our youth at our Hyphen, and my wife has been teaching the youth in the Hyphen girls about worth the wait, and helping our best to let them know that there's got to become boundaries. There's got to become some kind of protection and guardrails. See, guardrails are not there to keep you from having fun. It's there to keep you safe. The reason why there are signs posted around turns telling you how fast you should go, like this turn is 25 miles an hour. The reason they're doing that, Brother Scott, is not to take away the fun of putting the pedal to the metal and going 150 and seeing if my car can handle it. No, because it knows if you go faster than that speed limit, there is a danger of you not making the turn. And so the boundaries and the guardrails are there to protect you and keep you safe. Because without boundaries and without guardrails, godly people in a compromising situation can corrupt good manners. I don't care how strong of a Christian that you think you are, when you put yourself in a compromising situation, it does damage to good manners. That's why Paul said, hey, young guys, refrain from touching. Young ladies, wear modest attire. And that is why there are more external standards for women. The additional rules or guidelines or boundaries for appearance are for the lady's own protection. It's to protect her from the lust of fallen man. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or in the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So does it matter how we appear on the outside if God looks on the heart? Absolutely it matters. Because the inside reflects the heart. Can I tell you that Jesus did not go after the Pharisees and Sadducees because of the way they dressed? He didn't go after them because they paid tithes or because they prayed. He went after them because of their heart. The heart was not matching the outward appearance. And a lot of people try to clean up the outside first, and they don't work on the inside. But if you're in this long enough, if you haven't worked on the inside, you're not going to last. I think there's an old Sunday school song that says, Jesus on the inside, working on the outside. Oh, what a change. If you get God, if you'll really fall in love with Him, and you'll try to say, God, because I am one of yours, would you help me to learn to be a better reflection of you, to learn your ways and your statutes, because you said in the very beginning, let us make man in our own image. I'm striving to be like you. I don't know what your desire is. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I just want to be like him. I know I have a long way to go. I know I haven't arrived yet, but if I could just fall in love with him, that he could teach me of his words, he could show me his statutes and his judgments. If I can get just to glean his words, I can become more like him. That's my desire. And so the subject of holiness and dress is sensitive because it touches what many people treasure most. It touches their pride. Don't talk about what I can do and what I can't do. I'm telling you, a lot of this Word of God, if you'll really study it out, it goes against your flesh. Your flesh does not like certain styles of preaching and teaching from the Word of God. Your flesh just wants to love everybody and just eat chicken and run the aisles and say, hey, how do I look? No, that's what your flesh wants. But your spirit, that's what the Bible says, the violent taketh it by force. The spirit has got to arise and say, flesh, you ain't making any more decisions in my life. My spirit's going to reign, and I'm going to get into the Word of God, and I'm going to find what thus saith the Lord is all about, because I want to be a better reflection of him. And the reason I do things and the reason I don't do things, it's all because I'm his. And so what we wear is very much a part of who we are. Our clothes reveal not only our social and economic levels, but it also reveals our morals or our lack of morals. What we wear reveals what we want the world to believe or admire about us. What we wear reflects what kind of person we are. Our clothes reflect our values. Again, pride will rise up and say, who do you think you are to tell me what I can and can't do? Please understand me tonight. I'm not telling anybody what you can or can't do. I want you to understand you can do anything you want to do because it's your choice, it's your decision. But understand this, however you slice it, however you dice it, the clothes that you wear are a reflection of who and whose you are. Everything we do and everything we don't do, it's all a reflection of whose we are. And I'm going to tell you who I am. I am a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am a reflection of him. I have been blood bought, Holy Ghost filled. He's bought me with a price. And because I am his, this is what I do. This is what I don't do. And every one of you has the option to say, I want it, or that's old fashioned. I don't need that. And we serve a loving God that will allow us to make knucklehead choices. Well, you know, that was for them, Brother Saucedo, back in the day. You know, I know they did that and then they didn't. You know what? You better be careful when you try to remove fences that were placed down from our old pioneers. You've got to be very careful when you go against the man of God. Bible says he watches for your soul. He becomes a seer. Sometimes we get so enraptured with this world that we have spiritual blinders on. And you've got to wake yourself up and say, flesh, listen to me. It's time that I run back to the Lord. It's time I spend some time in prayer and fasting and dedication to the Word of God, because I want God to speak to me, because I was created to give Him glory. I was created to be a reflection of Him, and everything I do and everything I don't do, it's because I'm His. That's what it is. And that's why people will look at you and say, there's something different. There is something different. It's God inside of me. It's not just Wednesday. It's God. And if I can just get God. We had an incredible Bible study with Amber and Bubba last Sunday morning after church. And we started going down the Word of God. And we started breaking it down, talking about repentance and baptism. And we talked about the incredible plan of God. Nowhere in life do you ever get do-overs. Nowhere in life do you ever get a second, third, fourth, or fifth chance. But with God, He said, I'm going to give you a do-over. Because when you were born in this world, you were born in sin and you were shapen in iniquity. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I don't care how good you are. I don't care about all the nice things you've done. When you were born into sin because of Adam and Eve. We were all sinners. And I had a gentleman that said, well Pastor, I just don't think that I have to be baptized. What do you think? I said, doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter about your grandma, grandpa. But what matters is what is in the Word of God. I said, John, let's just cruise through the Word a little bit. And I started reading the Word. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Then I started to read about John when Nicodemus came to the master and said, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And he said, well, can a man be born two times in his mother's womb? And Jesus had to have a sense of humor. I mean, my mother is barely 5 foot. I'm 5'8". And I weigh 109. I should be in the 80s. But I'm back up to 190. Pray for me because I just love to eat. I tell my wife all the time, I say, baby, I'm going to eat better. And she's like, would you stop talking about it? It helps me. But today I had to have two double-doubles. Hallelujah. Forgive me, Jesus. Not in a setting. At lunch, I had it protein style. And then my son brought one down for dinner. So I'm overloaded on that. But Nicodemus said, can a man be born twice in his mother's womb? So he had to laugh about that. But he said, Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. And then Peter, having the keys to the kingdom of God, when he preached an incredible sermon on the day of Pentecost, and they said in Acts 2:37, what must we do to be saved? And then Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. We went 10, 15 minutes. And I said, now, John, what do you think? He says, I need to get baptized. I said, yes, you do. I said, but here's the great part. And I'm going to wrap it up, Brother Alex. Here's the great part about being baptized. The Bible says we're buried with him in baptism. We're buried. Baptizo, which is the Greek word. It's immersion. It's dying out. It's being put down. And so we're buried with him in baptism. The Bible says, behold, old things are passed away and all things become new. So when we're buried with him in baptism, we take on his name. My last name's no longer Grogan. It's Jesus Christ. And whether you like it or not, I'm your brother. As I got royal blood in me. And when I came up a brand new creature. A reflection of him. I got to have a do-over. I do not get good to get God. I get God to get good. And so when I repented and I got baptized and I started saying, God, I want to follow you. Guess what began to happen? All the junk, all the past, my lifestyle, the way I talk, the way I act, was slowly fading away. That's why the Bible says, behold, I called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, when you turn the lights off and you get accustomed to the light, then when you turn the light on, you're like, whoa, I can't see. That's why it's a day-to-day walk. But you get to have a do-over. All the mistakes, all the hurts, all the pains. You could say, God, I'm going to change some things. And I'm going to give my life to you. And when you do, things start changing. No longer do I dress so people can look at me. No longer do I try to seek the attention of others. But now I try to dress in a manner that they don't see me, they see him. Because that's my goal. That's my heartbeat, Brother Rudy. I really don't want people to remember my name, but I want them to remember Jesus. I want them to remember a Savior that had mercy and compassion. It's not about the do's and don'ts. It's not about the rules. Well, I'm not going to that church. I'm not being a part of that. Because no, I want to be a part of him. I want to follow after him. And when you get that mindset, everything begins to change. We'll dive further next Wednesday and the Wednesdays thereafter. But I want you just to understand what you do and what you don't do is a reflection on whose you are. And so the question of the hour is, whose reflection do people see? Who are they looking at when they look at you? Who are you trying to fool? I don't want to fool anybody. I want to please him. Let's stand to our feet tonight. I close with this. Years ago that I found myself, we had a boat back in the day, and I found myself on a lake with my two kids, Brooklyn and Tristan. For some reason you weren't there, but my dad was. And as we got on the lake, my dad started crying. I said, why are you crying, Dad? He said, because this isn't wrong. I said, what are you talking about, Dad? He said, you're out here just having fun. You're not drinking. You're not cussing. I said, Dad, I'm just trying to win my kids. I'm just trying to win my family. Because my dad started crying. He said, well, I live my life on trying to please others, my peers, that tried to tell me the do's and don'ts. So I'm just trying to be a reflection of the Lord. Because if I can mirror the pulpit with my lifestyle outside, then hopefully I can make a difference. But too many just play the part on Wednesdays and Sundays. And when you see them out there, you don't recognize them because they're not reflecting their Creator. But I want to reflect Him. Would you lift your voice with me right now? Could you lift your voice and just a simple prayer that says, God, I want to be more like You. I want my actions to be more like You. I want my spirit, God, to be more like Yours. I want people to see You through me. Because God, it's not about me or what I've done, or it's all about You. I want to be a reflection of You. I want my family to see You. I want my friends to see You. I want my coworkers to see You. I want to broadcast this because I'm Yours. We've got a few minutes tonight. Would you step out from where you are? Would you line this front? Would you lift your voice today? And would you just tell God, I'm giving everything to You. My hopes, my dreams, my ambitions. I'm laying them down at Your feet. Help my home. Help my family. Help my marriage. I want to be a reflection of You as created in Your image. As created to give You glory. I want to be more like You. Oh, come on, I'm feeling in this house tonight. I want more of You, God. I want more of You, God. Oh, God. Help me, God. Help me to be more like You. Help my home, God. Help my family, God. Help my marriage. Oh God, I hunger for You. Don't you let this song be a prayer. Why don't you raise your hands, sing this to the Lord. I'll give You all.
I will give You all. I will give You all. If all is what You ask of me, I will not withhold. But if my sacrifice is less, let me remember Calvary's cross and be willing to say,
hallelujah, hallelujah. This is a message that you must take with you. Not for anybody else, but that you've made up your mind. I want to live for God. I want to make an impact on my world. If you'll do that, that's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear. And if you'll get that inside your spirit, you will affect so many others. The hardest people to win is your family, because the family sees you outside the four walls of this church. God, help me. Help me to be a reflection of You. God, I pray for Your children tonight. I pray Your hand on them, God. Your hand on their homes. Hand on their families, hand on their marriages. I pray, God, that You would abide there. I pray that You would help them. I pray that you would give them strength, God. Pray that you would give them wisdom beyond their own understanding. Help them, God, seek you and help them be a reflection of you. We give you praise and we give you worship in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Clap your hands unto the Lord.